A popular Outcast production.
Hey there, listeners. This is Mike Carpenter. I'm currently in my car driving to the next location for my next podcast. And I just wanted to record a quick intro here for what I think is going to be episode 2. I sat down with the guests Chris Rowell and Dane York, and we started talking for a while about music, and it was interesting for a while, and then it kind of trailed off, and I don't know if we lost chemistry or what really happened with it, but it just wasn't going as well as I wanted, and I just wanted to end the podcast a little prematurely. And Dane just kind of kept talking, and then I kept talking, and we ended up getting into some subjects that I did not think we were going to get into, and I think it turned out 1,000 times better than what originally we were talking about. So I pretty much cut out most of the beginning of the podcast, probably about a good 20 minutes to half an hour, and I just kind of leave it off where I think it starts getting interesting. I did edit so that they left all their, because we did sign out originally, and I left all their plugs in. Excuse me, sorry. Anyway, there's also a little song segment in the middle that I also recorded in my car, so there's some background noise there. I was going to say, I do live in northern Pennsylvania in the mountains, so bumpy roads, and I have an old SUV that's not too quiet, so if you can excuse all the noise, well, thank you very much, and hopefully you guys find this episode as rewarding as I did. We got into some good subjects, so I'm glad I kept recording, and I'm glad they talked me into it. So, here's episode 2. Enjoy.
So it's recording. So we're back with another episode of I don't know what the fuck the podcast is called yet because I didn't come up with the title.
MC Pods.
I was thinking Oddcast, but like, and there's a podcast called Oddcast. There's a company called Oddcast.
Yeah.
I was thinking all kinds of dumb shit. I was thinking Podpourri because it's a mix of crazy shit, man. But that's just dumb. That's just stupid. But anyway, I am the host. This is my goddamn show, and I'm Mike Carpenter. And I am recording from actually it's the same as last time, undisclosed location. That's a business, so I have to shut the fuck up if customers come in. And I'm with
Dane York, and I have a vlog, and it sucks, and you should watch it.
well, plug it now. Plug that shit, man.
All right.
Get in it.
It's Dane Fiction. I have a Twitter under that name, I have a YouTube under that name, I have a Tumblr under that name, and there's a website, danerocks.us. So when you say it fast, it's Dane Rocks Us.
Oh my god, and he does. And I'm also here with another delicious man specimen.
Hey.
Get off the computer.
Do you want to say
I'm looking at sets. I'm Chris Rao.
Who are you?
Chris Rao.
Yeah, right, you are. Look at you.
Mm.
So good.
Mm-hmm.
I'm probably too quiet, I can't hear me. Anyway,
that's okay, that's good.
Oh, yeah, good shit. So anyway, we were just talking.
The best thing to do with a podcast is talk so the microphones can't hear you.
That's a good at.
Well, we were just sitting here yapping, and I was like, why? Well, Chris is like, why aren't you recording this? Because if we're going to yap, we're going to do it for profit.
Well, it was all good stuff.
Profitable yammer.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway, Chris, do you play any music shit? Are you musically talented at all?
No, not really. Really?
Oh, that's sad. I picture you being musically inclined.
Well, it's from like a traumatic thing that happened when I was younger that made me like not be able to be good at music, I think.
Dude, let's get into this.
I was in the orchestra, and I was a year into it.
I just want to say right now, I hope the listeners didn't tune out when I was yelling at them to tune out, because now I think this is actually getting interesting.
I I was in orchestra when I was younger, and it was from like fourth grade was when it started, and I played the cello, and I was getting pretty, like, I was good at it for a kid my age, so I would have been great at it by the time I got older.
Yeah.
But I got the flu 1 week in fifth grade, and I had it so bad I had missed an entire week of school. Like, I had the flu so bad, I lost, like, 23 pounds that week in a six-day span.
Yeah,
I lost 23 pounds. I had to stay home from school every single day, and I was at the doctor several days. I was, like, that sick. So the first day I came back, I walked into the orchestra department and for my lessons. And I had only actually missed three lessons because it was only Monday, Wednesday, and Friday were our lessons.
Mm.
And when I walked in, my teacher looked at me and she was like, "Are you ever going to be in school?" And I was like, "I'm sorry, I was really sick." And she was like, "Well, I'm just saying, if your heart's not going to be in this, you should just quit now."
Jesus
Christ. And I was like, "But I almost died. Like, I had the flu. I could not come to school. I practiced at home still." And she was like, "I'm just saying, I don't have the time for this and it's not fair to everyone else." And I was like, "Okay, then I'll quit." And she goes, "Good, I want you to bring your cello in tomorrow."
Jeez.
So I brought my cello in the next day, and I gave it back. And ever since then, I haven't been able to...
Holy crap, that's fine.
I haven't been able to, like, do music. Like, he's tried to teach me how to play guitar. I tried to teach myself to play mandolin. And it's almost like my fingers refuse.
Oh, man.
Like, my fingers will not... Like, I can... I'm dexterous, you know what I mean? I have easy finger movement.
Yeah.
I can do stuff. I have no hand problems really, but you put an instrument in my hands and my fingers just like stiffen up, and I think it's because of that happened.
Dude, that's fucking A, that's interesting as shit, but B, that's fucking, that's crazy. Like, that's like, that is kind of heartbreaking though to me also. Like,
well, I was really passionate about it.
Yeah,
I loved it so much. And like, I think that's why I love music and appreciate music so much, is because I can't make it. But, like, it's just, it, that was one of the things that I think pretty much, like, ruined my childhood the most, was that one interaction I had with my orchestra teacher.
Jesus. Dude, once this podcast is over, I'm getting a name. I'm gonna go fucking beat some ass. Jesus.
Yeah, it was.
I don't want to say I'm sorry because it's not my fault, and I hate when people say they're sorry to something they can't control.
But you're apologetic that I had to go through with that I went through.
Yeah, that's sad. That sucks.
And like, it doesn't sound like a big deal, but it's a big deal.
It does to me. Like, yeah, music's like, a big part of my life. And that's.
And I loved it. Sucks. Like I said, I loved it more than anything. Like, I went home and I would practice for 2 hours every single day after school, and like, I was like trying to teach myself songs. And I was, like, trying to go ahead in the lesson book.
Yeah.
And like I said, I'm pretty much bedridden with, like, a 102, 103 degree fever. Losing pounds a day I can't eat. And I'm still trying to learn more.
Did you ever tell your parents about this shit? Or, like, did they,
I told them because I told them they had to bring my...
Like, did, like, she ever get fucking, like... her ass fired or reprimanded or like...
No, she's still the orchestra teacher.
A good fucking solid
got a promotion. She's the orchestra... She was the orchestra teacher for the high school and the elementary school.
We're gonna talk about this after the podcast because I need some fucking names.
Yeah.
That's some crazy shit. Because I got nephews that like are going to be doing music someday and I want to fucking...
Make sure that they don't...
Make sure these kids don't get fucking...
Discouraged.
Your awful experience, which... That's pretty heartbreaking, man. Because, like, I mean, when I was a kid, like, trumpet, man, I played trumpet. I started, picked up when I was 10, and I did lessons at SU. I took music theory classes. Just like you, man, like, I just wanted to get ahead of the curve and, like, learn more shit. I remember teaching myself the Jurassic Park theme on the trumpet, because that shit was...
the coolest thing I've ever heard, I think.
What's that?
The Jurassic Park theme on the trumpet. Like, you learned that when you were 10?
Yeah, well, I was probably 14, maybe.
It's still amazing.
It was pre-high school and middle school, so I don't know how old. But yeah. Na-na-na-na-na, that whole bullshit, like, that was some good shit, man.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was hard for me because I was in between saxophone in the band and cello in the orchestra.
See, the orchestra, dude, cello, that instrument, dude, that
It's a beautiful instrument.
It's a moving instrument. Yeah. Like,
and that's why I chose it, because I loved it. And there were less people in orchestra than bands, so like I felt like I would have been more important and all that stuff. Like, it was one of the first things I did that like I did because I wanted to feel better about myself.
Mm-hmm.
And then just to like be completely shut down like that, because like I could see if I had like not shown up to lessons or anything like that, but I had a doctor's note to miss every single day.
I missed. The thing is, it was an illness.
Yeah, it was something completely out of my control.
Was way fucking out of line.
Not only that, but you were in fourth grade.
Yeah, like, you're a like, goddamn child.
Yeah,
not like you're fucking in college. Like, you're not like, I mean, even then it's still out of line, but like, I get if you're going to college and you have like, I mean, college people take their shit so goddamn seriously.
Yeah.
You're fucking 10, you're 9, you're fucking...
Yeah.
Like, yeah.
That's like when Hey Arnold was like a big part of your life. And Hey Arnold was in fourth grade. I don't know if you knew that.
Yeah.
But like all the old like Nickelodeon shows took place in fourth grade.
South Park also.
Yeah.
Well, after they were in third grade for the first couple seasons.
Yeah.
And then like that was the greatest like moment of my life when I hit fourth grade. I was like, now I'm in like Timmy Turner's class and like Arnold's class. Like, this is the best. And then like
that's funny. I never thought about that. Fourth grade was a good year for me, man. I had a great teacher.
Yeah. And then this kid's getting like kicked out.
Yeah, it was the summer after fourth grade when I got into music, because
fourth grade was my worst year of elementary school.
That was my best. Sucks. Yeah. I feel bad. I want to give you a hug.
It was also the year I discovered Yo Mama jokes, and I almost got suspended from school for it. I don't even, like... It wasn't even an offensive joke. It was just, like, my response to someone was, like, yeah, well, your mom. And then he took me to the principal's office, and I was like, I don't know why I said it. It just seemed like the funny thing to do. And he's like, would you like if I talked about your mom? And I was like, no. And he's like,
yes.
Do you want me to, like... Write you up, you want to get suspended? I'm like, I'm sorry, I'll apologize to him. I didn't know it was going to hurt his feelings so much. It's not like the kid's mom was dead or anything. He was just a crybaby.
This reminds me of just a quick story. In high school, I'm going to say junior year probably, I was in marching band. We always did like band trips, and you know, I was on school buses and had band parent chaperones. Myself and a couple friends of mine discovered the wonder of dead baby jokes.
Mm-hmm.
And we would tell dead baby jokes on band buses to each other. We were the, you know, the bad kids. We sat in the back of the bus, you know, and all the band parents sat in the front of the bus. Turns out, long story short, we had to write an apology letter to one of the band parents who was a pastor at a church because he overheard too many dead baby jokes.
I could see if there was like a mom on a bus who had like a stillborn.
Yeah, no, it was
but
just,
a pastor being that's.
Shitty pastor. I'm not gonna say his last name. I don't even matter. Pastor Bush. Fuck him. But
George Bush.
Yeah.
Pastor W. He prefers.
Yeah, but we had to write letters to him personally,
Father W.
apologizing for telling dead baby jokes.
That's stupid.
Bunch of 16-year-olds on a bus telling jokes to each other.
That's okay. So dumb.
Like, I like to look at it as either like everything's funny or nothing at all is funny. Like,
there shouldn't be a gray area.
Yeah, there shouldn't be like. You shouldn't be able to tell somebody, like, hey, that isn't funny, because, like, that guy thinks it's funny.
And also, too, I'm a firm believer in, if you can't laugh at this, then you shouldn't be able to laugh at that.
Because
everyone can get offended by something.
Because,
like, my grandma stopped watching Jay Leno because he made too many fat jokes.
Oh, really?
Yeah, and yeah. I was like, that doesn't make sense, though, Graham, because you're fine with listening to jokes about people of different races, or thin people or people who take care of themselves or celebrities. And she's like, well, yeah, they're funny. And I'm like, but who's to say that these thin people or these celebrities or these whatever...
Sure.
Who's to say they're not going to be offended by it? And she's like, I never really looked at it that way. And I was just like, I'm just trying to say the world doesn't revolve around you. Like, it's not right for you to say... You can't laugh at me being fat, but I can laugh at you being from Mexico or being from Italy or whatever.
Yeah, I get that. Like, to me, I do think there are gray areas, but I think it's all where context lies.
Yeah.
Like, it's all, like, it's where your heart lies and, like, in the context.
And how it's written.
Yeah, well, if Jay Leno, we'll just use Jay Leno as this example. If he's sitting down with Drew Carey back in the day and just makes a fat joke randomly, just says, oh, I see... blah, 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 I don't know, makes fat joke X.
Like he asks him, like, what bra size he's up to.
Yeah, exactly. I'd say that's bullshit. But if he's making just a joke, not at the expense of fat people, but just at the expense of whatever. Say if he gained weight and makes a fat joke, you know,
well,
I make fat jokes all the fucking time because I agree am 320 something.
I agree with you there. If it's like directed at a single person in order to her,
sure.
Like if it's, if it's someone cracking, like if you're in a room of 20 people and there's one fat kid and someone turns to that fat kid and goes, "What bra size are you in now?"
Yeah,
he might be hurt by that, especially if he doesn't know how to handle it or whatever.
Sure.
Which that's not right. But if you're making a joke about fat people riding the scooters in Walmart or
something like that.
You shouldn't be offended by that, because then you should also be offended by the joke about, you know, people from Mexico coming over the border. Because they're coming over the border for a good reason.
Who's the victim in your joke?
Yeah, if there's a victim, that's what I'm... If it's directed at an individual...
Because at Walmart, the scooters are the victim.
Like...
like they scream.
Like, if you... if you can put the person's name in front of the joke, like, so-and-so, comma, what bra size are you in now? That's the kind of joke that shouldn't be told and should be offensive.
Totally agree.
But if it's a generality, no one should.
Sure. Because I assume everyone has been at the end of one of those jokes.
Yeah, I have.
I'm sure you have.
I put myself at the end of those jokes when I first opened my set.
And that's what you learn as a defense mechanism when you are a 12-year-old fat kid.
Yeah.
I'm not saying you, per se. I'm saying me also.
Don't.
I know.
I know.
I don't want to be an asshole. Yeah, obviously, yes, I know. We probably have similar experiences of a lot of this.
Well, there's one of two. There's three.
You probably don't.
No, I was gonna say I lost 5 pounds.
there's three things you can do as a fat kid.
These are the squeakiest chairs.
I know. I wish they weren't.
There's three things you can do as a fat kid growing up, though, and that's learn to accept it and be funny about it. Take it and shut up. Well, four things. Take it and shut up.
Mm-hmm.
Become the aggressor, or kill yourself.
Yeah,
kill yourself is always the option, but it's not the good option.
No. And I'm not saying that to be, like, funny or in a joke. I giggled out of awkwardness of giving that answer.
Yeah.
But, like, not. I'm saying, like, if you can't take it, kill yourself. But I'm saying that seems to be the path these days, is people who can't handle bullying, one of four things happens. They learn to take it and then joke about it.
Some controversy here on this
and,
one. I'm seeing some faces.
And so on and so forth.
Yeah. I just think, I don't know, you brought up bullying. I think it's the most ridiculous thing in the entire world. Like, if you cannot take some kid, or maybe a few kids, picking on you in school, I understand that sometimes it can get, like, awful. Like, I've seen things get awful, but, I mean, if you can't take being picked on because you wore, like, a gray shirt when you were supposed to wear, like, a blue shirt to, like, track and field day or whatever,
but
then, like...
But they're not the kids who are committing suicide.
And also, like, the kids aren't bullying him because of that shirt. They're bullying him because of other things.
Yeah.
And just at the time, the shirt's first thing.
It's hard for you to understand, Dave, because you're a skinny kid.
No, I'm not saying I'm fat kid bullying.
No, I'm talking about bullying in general. But
yeah,
you're, me too. You're a heterosexual male.
White.
Who's average, possibly even below weight. Like, the only thing people have to make fun of you for is your eyebrows are a little bit thick and you've got long curly hair.
They call me Snicker Brows because they look like Snickers bars on my face.
And
I have a mustache.
I'm going to agree with Chris Rowell on this one.
Like for real, you don't... Like,
no.
It's hard... It's funny because a lot of people who I talk to about bullying come from that point when they haven't experienced harsh bullying. I don't know about you, but, like... Sexual harassment bullying was a big thing in my high school.
Jesus, motorcycles. Sorry.
Like people grabbing my chest or like.
Oh, really?
Body.
See, that was
like,
a big thing.
Yeah, I've never seen that.
And I will say, like, I don't think I ever had any aggressive bullying experience. Like, I was bullied. Everyone was bullied. But, like, I was always a fat kid in school. Like, I was always overweight throughout my entire. I always had, like, the overly rosy fucking cheeks, but everyone likes to fucking point out.
Mm-hmm.
I had braces. I had headgear. I had braces for 5 fucking years. I had a palatal expander, which put a gap in my teeth wide enough that was wider than one of my actual teeth, which I got made fun of by fucking teachers.
Yeah.
Which is the goddamn worst when teachers make fun of you in front of a fucking class.
Mm-hmm.
But I will never say, I was never like the, like, where you see there is that one kid who, like, you made the thing, like, wearing a gray shirt about some bullshit.
Yeah.
But, like, it would be like, that was just like the joke of the day. Where, like, there was always that one kid, or there was always a couple kids who were like, every goddamn day, no matter what it was, they were the butt of the joke.
Mm-hmm.
I was never that kid. Like, I will always admit that. But I would definitely say, and maybe this is just an assumption, and maybe I should feel bad for saying this, but I feel I was definitely bullied more than what I would consider the skinny, average, white, heterosexual male.
Most of, in my school, bullying wasn't like, I never even like witnessed bullying. Like, I've never actually seen it like, in my high school.
Bad too.
So
like, I was heavily bullied. Like, I was one of those, like,
see, I would,
I'm not trying to be like funny or like insensitive when I say this, but the bullying I went through, I'm surprised suicide was never a thing that happened to me.
Yeah.
Because like, it was like, I was like, they'd grab my man boobs to the point where like, I'd go home and I'd have bruises at the end of the night. And like, they would like say things to me about like, they, there's people who would like make sexual gestures towards me because I was pretty feminine and, and, my eighth grade year, the entire school, someone had started a rumor and the entire school had been convinced that I was gay, which isn't a bad thing. Like, I'm not saying that being homosexual being is a bad thing at all, but in eighth grade, when you're trying to identify who you are and people you don't know are already,
when you live in closed-minded central,
Central Pennsylvania, Hateville, USA,
pretty much,
that's probably what this place is.
Pennsyltucky.
Yeah, and it's just like, and it's just like having to defend myself because I don't want, because my school was a school that it wasn't okay to be gay.
Yeah. Oh, yep. As was mine. I don't know. Did we go to the same school?
No, I went to.
It doesn't matter. They don't know where this is anyway. So
yeah.
But yeah, like we were 10 miles apart, but
our mascot was the Indians, so you know where I went to school.
Either way, yeah, I know. Just any there's not really a good school to be gay in this area.
Yeah,
I don't think even today there's not a good area. I know, like Matthew Fry, a frequent guest of various Popular Outcast Productions podcasts. I know he will say being gay is not easy.
Yeah, it's
in public school in this area.
I mean, okay. The rumors got so bad that my next door neighbor had invited me to her 13th birthday party. This was like beginning of eighth grade year. Like, just into 8th grade, that's when the rumors started.
Mm-hmm.
And there were people who were well out of school at that party because her parents let her be friends with older kids.
Mm-hmm.
She was turning 13, there were kids who were, like, 17, 18 at that party, and kids who were, like, 16, and kids who never knew me. And I was invited to, like, spend the night and stuff like that, and I was like, okay, whatever, because I didn't have a lot of friends at the time.
Mm-hmm.
And all of the older kids were like, wouldn't talk to me, and they were like staying away from me, and like they would say shit like, you probably want to fuck me and stuff like that. And I was like, I don't know where that's coming from. I'm just trying to watch this college football game on TV.
Yeah.
And they're like,
see, this kind of shit, man, just makes me like,
and
it's like, it's the parents of this area that breed this shit. And like, it's this area that breeds this.
Yeah.
It's these, and I mean, this kind of makes me sound like an asshole, but I don't really fucking care. But like, just these like small town mentalities.
A lot of hate breeding goes on.
It really does, man, and it just it keeps like in fucking like what 2000? What year was this? 2008? 2000?
It was like 2008. Yeah, 2009.
Who the fuck has this mindset in 2008? Like, it's not like we live in the goddamn 60s. Like, who the fuck? Why should anyone care about? I mean, no one should have fucking cared in the 60s. But like, you know, like. We are in a progressive society. Why the fuck is homosexuality and like,
it's just weird
a
to
bad
me.
Thing?
It's just weird to me that a 17-year-old is making a comment about a 13-year-old who he's heard is gay.
Yeah,
see, wanting to fuck him without me even looking at him.
What school did you go to? Did you go to my school?
No, I didn't. I went
to the Tornadoes.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I was there.
I was in the SEALs, and in the SEALs school, racism was the thing not really to be picked on, I guess, but that was like the. I guess being gay wasn't like, there were a couple gay kids, but like most people were kind of cool with them.
Yeah.
But it was the race thing. There was always like no more than 5 black kids in any grade. And I mean, like brown was not a color you saw in that school very often.
Yeah.
That's the way it is where we went to.
Yeah. Well,
really?
Yeah. And,
I thought in your school, like there was a little more racial diversity.
So no. There was like, 4 or 5 non-whites in my graduating class.
I think I was about the same at the same number.
It's just this fucking area, man.
It is. And like,
well, and where I live now, worse. Where I live now, according to Wikipedia, I think it's 99.8% white.
Yeah.
Like the kids growing up there. I mean, like I couldn't imagine going to school where I live now. I could not fucking imagine going to public school there. It would be awful.
Yeah.
Like, I pity those fucking kids.
And like, What's weird too, though, is like what I forgot to mention is where I went to school. The openly gay kids were the ones who were accepted and okay. Mm-hmm. The ones who...
The closeted ones. Well, the ones who weren't open or suspect.
It was the suspect ones, or the ones that were rumored that got bullied harshly.
I think that's how it was in my school. And that's, I never got that either. Like,
it took me till 10th grade to clear up.
I think it's probably confidence. Rumor. It's probably the confidence that, like, if a person is openly gay and confident about themselves, I think people maybe sense their confidence and don't give them as much shit as the person who they think can be a punching bag and...
That makes sense.
Maybe, I don't know. I'm not going to fucking even try to, like, get...
Yeah, we're not psychologists.
No, but that's...
No, of course, yeah. This is not Mike Carpenter, MD-MC.
No, okay. But that's...
MD-MC.
it's a logical conclusion to me.
Yeah, it's... Yeah, it makes me hate kids. It really does.
I hate kids as well.
But it's not the kids' fault. It's just... And still, somehow, you and I both have the mindset where people are good.
Yeah, that's what's weird.
And how did we maintain this mindset?
Retelling that story.
We were talking about this in our last episode about how, like, you and I both, like, Chris Rowell, you and I both view that, like, deep down inside,
everyone
think most people have...
Everyone is genuinely good.
Good at heart. I think just, where our society is at right now, it's kind of... You can just kind of see where morals lie. Like, you know not to kill people because mm-hmm. If you watch any TV show at all... The good guys don't kill people.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, you just kind of know you don't fucking kill people. You don't do this. You don't rape people. You don't fucking, you know, you don't try to hurt people.
Right.
You know, I don't know. I think in general, but all good people will do bad things. It's impossible not to do something.
And you know what's weird to me, too, is, like, thinking about it now, the people I know that say, like Chris Waters, that's, like, all people are genuinely bad... Are people who never experienced like harsh bullying?
Yeah, see, I don't know, man.
Which is weird. Like,
See,
that's so strange.
I was never bullied, and the reason I was like all light about it is because I've never really seen it where we went. Because like there was maybe 100 kids in my graduating class. Like everybody knew everybody, and if you said something to somebody, the other person would find out, and it'd be like a big thing. So like everybody either just kept their mouth shut or had their own little like clique. So like there was never really like bullying in my school. And I'm sorry that you experienced it. I would have stood up.
I think that's like it's one of the few things. Like I know personally, like my personality, I'm one of the least empathetic people I've ever met. I don't have empathy to most things. People being bullied is one of the only things I have empathy towards, and I don't know why.
Yeah.
And I've always felt like the outcast. I've always felt like the different one.
Yeah.
Even though again, I guess I'm mostly straight. I'll say I'm straight. I think on my FetLife account, I have myself listed as heteroflexible, but...
That's a good one.
That is good.
But, you know, like, I identify as a straight male. I am white. I fucking... And again, I'm just for where I grew up, I am in the majority.
Yeah.
But I've always felt that I am not one of the mass. I am always the outcast. I'm always the outsider looking in. And I've always had nothing but empathy towards the ones being bullied. And I want to ask you, do you guys see a documentary called Bully? It was 2011, 2012, I think.
Is that the one with the slashes for Els?
No, that's Cyberbully.
Oh, okay. No, okay. I was going to say
no. No, Bully is the one that did a small stint in cinema, and it's on Netflix now.
I was going to say, if you haven't seen it, dude,
It's on Netflix now. It's been on my...
I cried my fucking eyes out
it's
watching
been on my queue.
Like,
bullying hits me so hard.
Spoiler alert, I guess, for a documentary, but there is a scene where the one father of a child who was bullied and killed himself... I'm gonna get choked up. Like literally, I'm gonna get choked up talking about it because like they all.
That's how I get too, though.
But there's a scene where he is at this rally for kids being bullied and shit. Just like hearing this man tell this speech, like I fucking, I lost my shit. Like it hit hard.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No. No, I understand.
Yeah, I'm the same way though.
I love second episode. We get the tears out in my second episode.
Yeah.
All right, I want to take a break here, quick, to regroup. So we'll be right back with more of this episode. I just press record, so fuck it. Alright. So we're back. If you're just now tuning in, you obviously don't know how podcasts work, you dumb bastard. Start at the beginning, asshole. So anyway, that break was brought to you by, what was it brought to you by, guys?
Colonel Stacks Dumping Stuff.
We have your snacks if you got the stacks of cash.
When it comes to bullying and stuff like that, I have a soft spot for it. And like, while it's an issue and like bad things do come out of a lot, I'm also sort of in the same boat that it does sort of like help people become.
It does help.
And I agree. And
but not everyone.
No,
and
no, no.
I'm not trying to say like bullying is good.
You
because
and I are confident, and you and I can get on stage and talk and tell jokes in front of a crowd of people. And I can get up and perform music in front of people, and I can show my art to the world and be myself.
And honestly, I think I have to credit some of that to being bullied.
And 100%.
I learned how to be the center of attention and how to take it and spin it.
Yeah, but and then you have the opposite, where kids fucking kill themselves.
Yeah.
Like, kids literally take their own
Which
lives because
so
living
death is better than the alternative.
Yeah, like, ending your life is better
and,
than...
And I can perfectly see where they're coming from just...
Yeah, I can too.
If the bullying I've... experiences any taste of what they went through.
I
completely understand.
I don't think I was on the high end, the high spectrum, like the large spectrum of harsh bullying.
Yeah.
But like, it's rough, man. Like I said, I got three nephews. I'm not gonna, whatever, they're all young. Like, I think they're like two, four, and six, maybe.
Yeah.
Like, I know they're gonna be starting, like, they're starting the whole public school thing, you know, and like, dude, like, I'm dreading, like, because I know they're going to be bullied. Everyone is, you know, everyone is to some extent.
Yeah.
But, like...
It's unavoidable.
Oh, God, I just feel so fucking bad. Like, I... Because
you can't protect
like,
them.
Like, do you want kids?
Oh, so bad.
I don't, and I'm so... Like, I cannot imagine bringing a child to the world, like, looking my child in the eyes...
And saying...
And, like, having, like, well, like, you know, what if, like, you know, if I have a fat kid... I have a kid who's just genetically going to be large, and I have to fucking look them in the eyes and know what they're fucking going through at school. That would break my fucking heart.
I think it would break my heart, too, but at the same time, it would help me, like, help them more.
Yeah, well, yeah, because you want to
like, take it properly.
Like, dude, like, I couldn't do that. I couldn't look someone in the eyes.
I just want kids because, like, I want to experience that sort of, that love and
the
stuff.
Love.
Like if I don't have kids, I'll be sad, but I'm not going to, like, be torn up about
and
it.
Like,
I would just... As
you're young, you're 21?
20.
Like, oh, you're like, I'm 27. Like, I'm getting to that age where, like...
If it doesn't
like,
happen soon.
I think, like, biologically, I'm all... Because I never wanted kids, and I'm kind of getting almost like, maybe I might want to have kids. Like, fuck. Like, I think biologically, my brain is telling me I should.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But, dude, I can't bring another life into this.
And I can understand where you're coming from, you know? That's got to be hard. I feel bad, you know?
Dude, this episode got to a place where I didn't think this was going to go.
Yeah.
I think I'm going to put a disclaimer at the beginning of this episode saying, hey...
Don't skip it. Don't quit when we
tell
you. Don't
listen to me when I'm an asshole. If you can suffer for the first, like, 10, 15 minutes, you'll be rewarded.
Yeah.
I agree.
Yeah.
Sorry. I just hope all of the loud cars and the loud chairs, I hope the sound is actually decent enough...
To release.
To enjoy, yeah, but...
Yeah.
Jesus. Maybe this will be the first episode. Maybe I'll save episode zero for it.
We got really deep really fast here. It's good, though. I like it.
I enjoy this one. I can't believe I got choked up, though.
I can.
I cry all the time.
I did, too.
I was like, I'm an emotional motherfucker.
Yeah,
like,
I am, too.
I got good and choked up there.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Yeah, it's weird to look back at it because I try to convince myself that I didn't get bullied that bad. But then when I think about the things people did to me...
Yeah, it sounds like you got bullied.
I got bullied pretty bad.
I'm not trying to make a joke here, but...
No,
like,
I'm like, pretty sure like, I was
yeah,
one
like,
of the
I
worst.
I know why, what I... Like, I got... I, you know, you're a dumb kid, like, and, like, you know, glasses and braces. Like I said, like, I got a whole gambit of shit. I think most of mine, though, was from the adults, though. It wasn't so much from the peers as it was from the adults.
Yeah.
Like, I remember, like, when I had braces, I had that goddamn, like, the palatal expander, which is, for any people don't know, it's when the roof of your mouth is too narrow... so they put this little this dividing piece of plastic in the roof of your mouth, and then you have a little key that it cranks and it winds the roof of your mouth. And when it does this, it puts gaps pretty much in the front, in the middle of your teeth. So I had a gap in the middle of my teeth that was like as wide, if not slightly wider, than one of my front teeth itself. I remember, like, after I got back from the summer, like, one of the first things this my fifth grade teacher said, she's like, it wasn't that bad. It was something about, like, oh, I bet you can whistle through that thing, or I bet you can, like, I bet you can spit pretty far through there, or something stupid like that.
Yeah, and it's...
But it crushed my fucking soul.
Well, because you were called out in front of everyone.
But it's because, like, I always was, like, somewhat confident in school, and she wasn't trying to be malicious, but it was just her saying this in front of other kids, and, like, oh, dude, it fucking crushed my fucking, like, it took a while, man.
Yeah.
And, like, but, like, that's not that bad. Like, it really isn't that bad. Like I didn't go home with bruises. I never really got in fights. I never got, like, physically beaten up that.
Well, unfortunately, when I was in high school, I was, like, I was very pacifist. Like, I didn't want to fight at all.
I was also.
But at times it came to it. My bullying was that bad. Like, yeah, if I tried to stick up for myself, the aggressors then wanted to fight me. Mm-hmm. And, like, it was either... My first step was always attack it with a sense of humor.
Which was always mine also.
And
but also, like, I mean, like, body size, I was always, like, on the... like, hey, I am 6'4 now, 6'3", 6'4, depending on what shoes I'm wearing, I guess. But, yeah. Like, I am... I have been told I'm an intimidating-sized person.
You are.
Like, I don't look like I'm 320 pounds, but I am. And, like, had I wanted to, like... If one of the kids that wanted to fight me, I could have bench pressed them. Like,
yeah.
I was always, like, muscular also. Like, I mean, I have a good layer of gut and whatnot, but, like, I took power weights in school. Like, I did weight lifting. Like, I was just a big dude. Like, no one's gonna fucking want to fight me, really.
Yeah.
Like, not to be a tough guy. I'm not a tough guy, but, like, I look like I fucking could be.
Yeah. Yeah, you do.
I look like I could be.
The tattoos really add to it.
And now, like, yeah, I'm tattooed and pierced to fuck.
Yeah. That's not a bad thing, but, like...
No, no, of course
but
not.
But, like, you do... You've got an intimidating look to you.
This is just... saying, like, in school, this is... I attribute me not getting into a lot of fights is because I look like I would fucking beat some ass.
Yeah. And the thing with me is... Yeah, the thing with me was everyone thought that I was a pushover because I had combated the bullying with a sense of humor, which I am a pushover, but, like, I didn't ever want to fight, but if someone wanted to fight me or hit me first, I stuck up for myself.
Yeah. Not good for
I wasn't gonna
yeah,
back
yeah.
I wasn't gonna back down. And, like, I got in one good fight when I was in, like, 9th grade, and that was, well, 10th grade, and that's pretty much when all the bullying stopped because of that one fight.
I want to ask you also, I want to be as honest as you can possibly think of yourself. Did you ever bully anyone ever?
I bullied friends, but that was in, like, this, you know, jokingly, the cordial, like, just,
yeah,
you know, making fun of a friend way.
Sure.
I never bullied anyone, like, to hurt their feelings.
If there was that kid.
The only time I would qualify myself as bullying someone is I flipped out when I was in culinary arts class. I freaked out on a girl because we were having a huge dinner,
mm-hmm,
and she ruined, like, a tray of truffled risotto that I had made. And it was an important thing to the meal. It was, like, the side dish of the main course.
Mm-hmm.
And an entire tray was ruined. And I was, like, I just freaked out on her, and I, like, called her an effing idiot, and I was, like, calling her all sorts of names in front of everyone else. And I immediately felt so guilty for it. But that was the only time I would qualify that I bullied someone.
Yeah. What about you? Curious.
I think I may have, but once I realized that I wouldn't have done it anymore.
Yeah.
So, like, in school, I wasn't bullied or anything, but I was really good at not fitting in. Like,
yeah.
I would just stay off to the side, so I wouldn't be involved with anything.
Sure, sure, sure.
So, like, you know those movies about, like, those, like, outcast teenagers
yeah,
or
yeah,
whatever?
Yeah.
Like, I was, like...
Freaks and Geeks.
Yeah, I guess so. I was just, like, I would always just stay out of everything. And
fair enough.
We probably participated in the same, like, friend bullying.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I would say that time you put your dick on my face while I was asleep was bullying.
Is that true?
It was the second time I slept over at his house.
It wasn't like... He was asleep on the floor, and I was, like...
And this is obviously a joke thing. This isn't, like, back in school where, like, people were making fun of you because
no,
he was causing gay.
No, it was just... He didn't even wake up.
I fell asleep.
It was just, like, a tap anyway. It wasn't, like, I was, like, jerking off on his face. You know what I mean? It was just sort of, like, I squatted and, like, it touched, and then
no.
I felt like it was stupid. Like,
no,
somebody told him when he woke up.
No, that's funny.
I was, like...
No, like, sometimes I look back and I think, like, I know, like, I enjoy insult comedy with my friends. I love when my friends and I can rip at each other.
Yeah.
And make fun of each other. And I feel like sometimes I do hit too hard. And I especially feel I do with people who I don't think know me well enough.
Yeah.
And that's, but I feel really bad. And sometimes I'll be really, like, I think I'll be more hurt by the fact that I hurt someone. Like, I'll be more really disappointed in myself thinking, like, oh, shit, I really fucking hurt this person when that was never the fucking intention.
Yeah.
And I think I do that more than I should.
Yeah.
I don't know. I think in my heart I am incredibly non-malicious. Like, I never want to hurt anyone. And I expect other people to automatically know that. So when I say some ex-fat joke, ex-gay joke, ex... joke racist X, like, I am obviously in no way ever fucking want to hurt anyone, and I always pick and choose who I say these things. Of course, you know, to my friends, like, to my good friends, where we make fun of each other, and every so often there'll be that one kid there who's not, like, the good friend. I'm like, oh shit, I'll say something to them, and, like, fuck, like you, just like them when I said something about, like, you got fat jokes in high school. Like, I'm like, oh, shit, I really shouldn't have fucking said that.
Because, no, that's fine.
And again, like...
Because obviously I did.
Because obviously you fucking did. But, like... but, like, I mean, you haven't known me for 10 fucking years. We don't have a rapport with each other where we can make fun of each other and have fun. And you know exactly where my heart lies in this conversation. And then I get, like, that regret. And I get, like, that, like, oh, fuck. Fuck. Like, I never want to hurt anyone in any way.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I make fucking goddamn Sandy Hook jokes to open a fucking stand-up set with.
Well, it's funny. Like, knowing just of you, like, I understand that you're joking. Like, I get that you have that sort of, like, it's supposed to hurt type comedy. Like, every now and then, like, and I get that, so I mean, you can say whatever, and I'd be like,
sure.
He's probably joking, and I would just laugh it off, even if you were being considered, like, you were like, you clearly heard, fuck, I hate you. I'd be like, that's funny!
But in high school, like, I was always the kid that made fun of myself before someone else could make fun of me, and that was my defense.
That was,
I know that was yours also.
That was mine, too. That was mine. I would get off the table.
Oh,
like,
sure.
Like, I always made the fat jokes because if they were made off
good
the,
at it.
If
they, I, yeah, I know you did also. Oh, yeah. You're a funny motherfucker.
And then you get good at the comebacks too.
Well, yeah, and I think my thing was I got too good at making fun of myself, where I got really comfortable making fun of myself, and then that would
and then that became my friendship mechanism. My icebreaker.
See, to me, then I think, like, again, when I'd be like having fun with my friends, I got so good at making fun of myself and picking myself apart that I would get too good at it, where I'd pick them apart by accident and transfer, like, oh, I'm making fun of myself, and I make fun of you, but it'd be that one zinger that they won't fucking see coming.
Yeah.
Because I got so good at picking apart myself and picking apart every fucking fault I had.
Yeah.
And then I'd feel like a piece of shit. And I instantly feel like a fucking piece of shit.
Yeah.
I look back and I think I bullied people too much in high school, inadvertently. It wasn't, I think, yeah, high school, middle school. And I never tried to. And I don't know. I think everyone, all my friends know where I'm at. And people who know me know I mean good. But yeah, sometimes I got to bite my fucking tongue.
Yeah.
I think that's everyone's problem. Like, everyone who tries to be funny accidentally sometimes, like,
yeah, goes and too it, far. It is the plight of, the plight. Oh, it's the, oh, we are suffering at our comedian souls. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. No, like, it's just, I don't know. As long as we gotta watch what the fuck did we say, I get my ass in trouble.
Especially when you don't want to hurt people.
And yeah, and I know you don't. You're a goddamn teddy bear. You're a fucking sweetheart.
Well, yeah, that's what's hard about, like, the comedy I try to take, is because, like, I don't want to tell a joke that might hurt someone else, which is why I try to avoid telling.
Sure, and I don't, but I know how well comedy disarmed things for me when I was a kid. And just now, in life, you know, like, just, like, there are things that are harsh, and what makes that easy for me to accept is laughing at it.
Yep, same thing.
And I
same
feel
thing
if
here.
I can try to help someone else do that also. Like, you know, if I can make the awful shit that happens in life easier for you to digest by making a fun joke about it, you know, if maybe 5 people get offended, but 20 people can laugh, and then they can, you know, somehow go to sleep a little easier.
Yep.
You know, to me, it's worth it, I guess, but then I feel bad for those 5 people.
Yeah.
Like, I know my last stand-up set, I had one girl who did not think a couple jokes were funny, and I talked to her about it, and, like, I felt bad. I'm like, God damn it. But at the same time, I had a room of fucking 50 people who laughed.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. Where do I stand? But
whatever. Someday we'll get to the point where we have too many people watching us do comedy that we can't have a conscience.
I really hope so. I hope so. I'd say how I don't. Like, I never want to not have a conscience. Like, I enjoy where my morals at, I think. Yeah. I think I have a good set of morals.
But what I mean by that is, like, Louis C.K. doesn't walk off stage at the end of the night and wonder if he offended someone.
But, like, Anthony Jeselnik does.
That's true.
Like, I mean, like, because he talked about people.
He admitted that he does. He's like, for being such a harsh comic, he does. Yeah. He walks off stage and feels bad.
But, like, and to me, I think comedians like him, and, like, you're not a big Lampanelli fan, are you?
I love Lisa Lampanelli.
See, I'm doing Gilbert Gottfried.
Yep.
Fucking love. I think these people do good with their comedy. Like, I think they have that same approach. Like, yes, you disarm this thing. I know Lampanelli does especially. But I don't know if you've heard about her on all the different podcasts and interviews. Do her, she's a hard goddamn gold.
Yeah, like, she's a big sweetheart. She's so nice.
I've heard.
But she comes off as such a harsh lady.
Yeah, I just want to give her a big ass hug.
Yeah.
Is she the one that they always make fun of on, like, the Comedy Central?
On the roast?
For being fat and having sex with black guys.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
I
don't really like her humor too much, but I don't hate it.
Oh, I love her.
Her humor is give or take. Like, it's not the greatest, but, like, I can see why someone would like it. It's not my forte. But
it is and isn't mine, especially like after hearing her candidly in interviews.
That's what got me. It's like
you know, if you heard her and know where she's at, like, you knew where her fucking heart's at, you'd go to her show and you'd fly to give her a hug.
I'm the same way. I didn't like her too much, but she was okay. And then I heard her, like, outside of comedy.
But now there's some I'm a little shaky on. Amy Schumer, I'm a little shaky on.
Yeah.
I don't like her at all.
I'm shaky on her. Jeselnik, I like.
Yes.
Gilbert Gottfried, I adore. I idolize.
I haven't heard Daniel Tosh on a podcast, but hearing how podcasts talk about Daniel Tosh changed how I feel about him.
I know a lot of people. There's for some reason, he is under the radar to me. Somehow my radar missed him because, like, I know he has the show, which I rarely ever watched. I've never seen any stand up with him. Never heard stand up. I know there's so many goddamn controversies. A joke he said. I got it. None of those sentences were sentences.
I got
They were okay.
Okay. You get the point. I missed some plurals in there.
But, yeah.
Or added some. But I don't know what his whole thing was. I've just heard there's this... To me, what I've pretty much heard is there's a college-style comedian who told some bad jokes about women and got in trouble.
Yeah.
I know no more than that.
I actually don't know what joke it was, but I think he's funny. He acts arrogant, and he... portrays himself as gay, but he never really comes out and says if he is or not.
Watching maybe two or three episodes of Tosh.0, it seems like he you and I were saying about how the kid who wasn't out is one who got picked on.
Yeah,
he tries to take that persona.
Yeah,
mm-hmm.
Which and then for me looking at it, for a comedian to take that persona, that means that they are trying to do some good with that then also. Yeah. They're trying to take the underdog.
But now his persona and who he really is are two totally different people.
Oh, I'm sure.
Because from listening to, like, T.J. Miller talk about stuff that happened between him and Dane Cook.
Oh, yeah, I heard
all that.
I like Dane Cook.
And then another experience that T.J. Miller had with Daniel Tosh, he's such an... Okay, so you heard the Dane Cook story, how he bumped T.J. Miller and...
Sure.
Okay, well, Daniel Tosh came to a club that T.J. Miller was supposed to be performing at, and walked up to T.J. Miller himself, didn't make the promoter go to him, said, listen, I want to do a 15-minute set, would you rather go first or follow me? And let him choose, and he was like, okay, now since I'm going first, do you care if I hit any of these topics, because I don't know how you want, like, the crowd and stuff like that, and, like, just to know that he cares so much about his fellow comedian, like, is a nice thing to see.
Yeah, that's cool.
Because even though his persona is he's kind of a dick,
mm-hmm.
underneath he's a good guy.
See, to me, like, I know Dane Cook gets a lot of flack. Like, I'm not a big fan of his comedy.
But him as a person. I listened to his episode of You Made It Weird.
Yep, that's
and
the
it,
one.
That's that what
one
turned me on him.
Yep.
It turned me around on him because 100%. He seems like a genuinely good guy now.
Yep, me too.
Not a good guy, an okay guy. Because what he did to T.J. Miller will always upset me. Because I don't want it.
Wasn't like he did to her or with him as much as the woman in the crowd. Also, like all the shit he said to that woman in the crowd.
Yeah,
and just like
that's what it is. And like also the bumping T.J. and then ruining the crowd and all that stuff. Yeah. Like I want comedians to treat each other good because it's like a brotherhood. It's a fraternity. It's a sorority. I want it to be healthy relationship.
It's the whole business of competition. Like it's that competitive nature because everyone wants to be the one that makes it. You know, everyone wants to be the one that has the special, has the show, has the, you know, just if you want to be the one that is in the spotlight more than everyone else because you want to further your own career, it's that dog and dog shit. But it shouldn't be. And I know it is.
Yeah.
And I don't think I have that in me personally.
Yeah. I don't either. I want comedy coexistence.
I do too. And I just know I'm not a competitive person.
I've never
been competitive. I couldn't be with comedy. I couldn't be with music. I couldn't be with anything. Like, anything I love, I can't be competitive
with. Yeah, me neither.
No. Like, I mean, like, if some guy bumps me, do bump me.
Yeah.
Butthole.
Yep, I'm the same way.
Yeah.
You bump
buttholes.
You big meanie. Like, I'm not going to go up and fucking trash talk his ass. I'm not going to try to fucking... You know, any of that shit. Like, it's just not in my nature.
Yeah.
But I like where this went. I think I'm going to end this one. I don't think we're going to progress, but I like where this went.
Yeah, it went a good spot.
I might just cut the first part and leave the whole second part.
This feels like a really good organic ending.
What's that?
Just shorten the first part.
Yeah, maybe just, like, edit the first part to bits. So I don't need to discuss this now, but I like where this went.
Yeah,
I like this. This was good.
It was a good episode. It was actually nice
to get to know you.
It was a good episode of therapy.
Yeah, I was gonna say because I've seen you for years. I lived in this area for a long goddamn time, and I like this. This was good.
It was nice.
What just happened? anyway, so signing out.
All right, signing out officially this time.
Yeah, for realsies.
Chris Rao, Delusional Loners, Yes Men.
Dane York from Dane Fiction Vlogs.
And I am Mike Carpenter with whatever the hell this podcast is going to be named sometime soon. So thanks for listening. I like this. This was good.
Take it easy, guys.
Peace.
See ya.
Yeah, I love her.
Yeah, I can't. That was so good. I loved it. Steer.